In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is risen. So now we're in this period between Pascha and Pentecost. And there's sort of a theme that goes through most of the gospel readings in this period of time. And they sort of hit three key points. The first one is that Jesus is God. The second one is that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And the third one is that Jesus has authority in heaven and on earth. And in this gospel this week, the gospel of the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well sort of touches on all three of these themes, which you could imagine is possible since how long the reading was, which is not surprising because while it's not the longest gospel reading we will do in the church year, it recounts the longest single conversation that Jesus had with anyone in his earthly ministry. So to go back and get a context for this whole setting, you have to go back to the book of Genesis. And we read, and Jacob came, actually, now we're in Exodus. That's okay. And Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, on his way from Padan Aram, and he camped before the city. And from the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, he bought for 100 pieces of money a piece of land on which he pitched his tent. And he erected an altar called El Elohe Israel, which means Mighty God of Israel. So this is how Jacob came to acquire this land in which he built his well, which is why it is called Jacob's Well. It's located in Sychar of Samaria. And at the heat of the midday, this is where our Lord encounters this Samaritan woman. Now, to give you context on the Samaritans, we know that they didn't get along with the Jews. We've heard that in lots of Gospels. You have to go back to the Old Testament again to see where they come from. So they were originally part of, we had 12 tribes, right? 12 tribes of Israel. There was a separation that's recounted in the first book of Kings. And in this book, we see the 12 tribes were split into two groups. Israel containing all but two tribes. And this became the northern kingdom. And Judah and Benjamin comprising the southern kingdom. The Jews come from this southern kingdom. The Jews of today that we understand, at least the historical ones. The northern kingdom was located between Galilee in the north and Judea in the south. And the 10 tribes that formed this kingdom were actually a very racially mixed society. There were Hebrews, there were Gentiles in this cacophony of people. And from the time of the separation of these tribes moving forward, the northern kingdom began to introduce changes to the worship that they had when they were united. They stopped traveling to Jerusalem to offer sacrifice. They set up idols to worship in Dan and in Bethel. This northern people were often called Samaritans because Samaria was the capital city of the northern kingdom. And from that point in history up to the time of Christ, the Jews and the Samaritans had deteriorated into really almost a hatred of each other, even to the point that they would not even speak to one another. Interesting that originally they were the descendants of brothers, but you know how this can go. This probably happens in our families from time to time as well. So with this context, we now see our Lord approaching a well in the heat of the sun where he encounters this woman of Samaria. We know he's hungry because the gospel says he had just had sent his disciples to get some food. We know he was thirsty because the gospel says it was midday and he had just hiked up to this well. When Jesus encounters the woman, she's extremely surprised. I imagine he was surprised. Well, he would have known because he's God, but it would be surprising to find a woman at the well in the middle of the day getting water. And while this is not recounted in the gospel, it could very well mean that this woman was not of well respected even in her own community. Or she would have been at the water with all the other women early in the morning when it's not very hot and collecting the water they needed for the day. But somehow, apparently she was not able to do that. Maybe she was shunned by her community. I don't know. But for whatever reason, at the completely wrong time of day, she's up there trying to get water. The first thing she does is she is surprised because she knows him to be a Jew and knows that those peoples did not interact. And second, because he's a man. And a man speaking alone, unaccompanied, to a woman was another cultural taboo. So on many levels, this conversation was completely unusual. Every day we see nations pitted against one another with universal hatred, one side hating every member of the other side. St. Nikolai wrote on this topic in his homily on this gospel. He wrote, "In order to break down the barriers of hatred between one nation and another, it's necessary first to break down the barriers of hatred between one man and another. This is the only rational way to heal the human race of great sickness of mutual hatred." It's easy to hate a people. It's harder to hate a person. And if we think of people as a collection of persons, we may have a path towards coexistence. Christ wishes to break down these sorts of barriers. And on this day, he chooses to do it by repairing the barrier between himself and this woman. As Jesus converses with the woman, he says, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that sent thee to give, said to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water." St. Nikolai also picks up on this phrase of the gift of God to remind us that it is both material and spiritual in context. In the material sense, God created the material world and has provided it to us for our comfort and for our help. This well did not contain Samaritan water or Jewish water. This well was there to provide water, a gift from God, to sustain all mankind. In fact, there is nothing in this world that we own that was not provided because God's creating hand was involved. In a spiritual sense, the gift of God is Jesus Christ himself, a precious gift to all people for our salvation. Now there's this term, living water. When speaking of living water, the Samaritan woman is again surprised. She considers living water to mean water perhaps from a spring, as opposed to like a cistern which just collects the rain. Jacob's well has been producing water for 1,000 years to all who came, and she is imagining how it would be possible that Jesus could provide a better water than that. Of course, Jesus is not talking about the spring of water from the ground, but rather the cleansing waters of our rebirth through baptism and the reception of the Holy Spirit. Today's gospel is reminding us that God's love is for everyone, for all people. God is the source of our salvation through our rebirth in Christ, through our baptism, and the outpouring of living water in our lives. It also reminds us that Christ's love for us does not require us to be perfect. In fact, he comes to us in our sinfulness and offers us a different path. The Samaritan woman confessed that she had had 5 husbands and was living with a 6th man outside of marriage. This too can be thought of literally and spiritually. In the literal sense, I don't imagine that any of you have been divorced 5 times. But the idea of living with someone who is not your spouse in today's world seems to have become rather commonplace. But in a spiritual sense, if you think of Christ as the bridegroom and we, the church, as his bride, we can ask whether we have been faithful to our bridegroom in all things. Whether we think of the marriage of the Samaritan woman as a literal marriage or a spiritual one, it is clear that we have all fallen short, but that Christ desires that we all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The gospel teaches us that we must look to God as the true giver of living water, and that we might live in communion with the Father through the Son and in the Holy Spirit. God is ready, he is willing and able to offer this living water to us regardless of our race, our nationality, our gender, or the level of our sinfulness. We all must just simply do this. We must simply believe in him, repent, and follow his commandments. We must look to Christ, the true giver of living water. We must approach him with full knowledge of his salvific role in our lives and in full disclosure of our sins through confession. When we then approach him with an understanding of his awesomeness, in faith and in love, he will provide the water that will become a well within us that springs up into everlasting life. It is fitting that this year we commemorate this Sunday of the Samaritan woman on Mother's Day. Saint Fotini did not just find personal salvation. She became a spiritual mother to her own children, with whom she endured martyrdom. She transformed her chaotic and broken life through Christ's grace to a woman known as equal to the apostles. The example is one that all mothers can take as they work towards being vehicles of spiritual growth and renewal in their own families. And likewise, as a mother nurtures life, Saint Fotini, having received the living water from Christ, went to the city and shared this living, life-giving truth with her entire community, nourishing their faith. When the Samaritan woman encountered Christ, the source of living water, she became an evangelist to the Samaritans. Living water cannot be contained in a bottle. It must overflow to the world. And as we look forward to the continuation of this festal season, to the Ascension and to Pentecost, may we, with a clean heart, with knowledge of the truth, and through baptism of living water, be like the Samaritan woman and spread this living water throughout our communities. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen. Amen.